I know that often I'll mention our musicians, but I want you to know, and I know that you already know how special they are and how important they are to our worship and how blessed we are to have such gifted singers, instrumentalists, and choir. Thank you and to all of you who make the music ministry possible. We are blessed. This morning, if you have your Bible, look with me, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I want to say an introductory word, if I may, because some of you are thinking, what's going on? He's never had an outline this short before. And you're a little bit nervous. Yeah, Chris said she was looking for the next page. But I want to share with you a message that is the same one that came from the lips of Jesus on a mountain. And it's called the Sermon on the Mount. And in that wonderful message, our Lord shared everything from truths about the family to our prayer life, to our faith life, messages on us being salt and light in a corrupt world and a dark world. He shared so many things that are relative to the life of what we need to know and what we need to be doing. And there's no one single part more important than another. It's all God's Word. But I want to focus this morning on verses 13, 14, and 15. Because all of us are on a journey. And I could have titled this morning's message on how to get to heaven from Bartlett. And that would work. But I've chosen the title, The Journey to Eternity. You need to be sure which road you're traveling. Several years ago, and I may have told you this story when I first started preaching for you, I don't know, but my wife, sweet fat Libby, and our children and I had moved to Weatherford, Texas, where our oldest son lives now, Jamie, and where we lived for a while when we moved to Fort Worth, the seminary. It was a spring day and beautiful outside, so we were out in the yard. It was probably a Saturday morning. And you need to know, we drove down that road not long ago, just to be reminded. I want you to imagine a country road, and you come to a decline where the road goes down a long sloping hill, and there's a curve at the bottom to the left. And our house is there on the left, at the bottom of the long sloping hill. We were out in the yard doing, I don't remember what, probably cleaning up the yard, I suspect. It was just a pretty day. And we heard the very recognizable sound of a car speeding apparently down that highway. It wasn't a highway, it was a two-lane asphalt road. And it was a car that whoever was driving that car was in a hurry. It was wound out. The RPMs were wound up. It was tight. And I realized in just a moment that it was a Corvette Stingray. By the way, I gave Libby a Corvette one year for her birthday. And she got rid of it. She was scared of it. But she loved it. But this Corvette, we looked up and I saw this. It was a red Corvette coming down the road at an incredible rate of speed. And I remember the thought occurring to me, this guy's coming to the bottom of the hill, and there's a curve at the bottom of the hill, and they're not going to make it unless they slow down. Yeah. Well, then I heard the blowout of the tire. And then I heard the squalling of the tires on the asphalt, on the wheel on the asphalt, and saw the sparks flying from the deflated tire. And then the car's wheels dug into the hot asphalt on that summer day, and that Corvette flipped in the air, throwing the driver out of the car. When the car landed, it rolled. When it stopped, it was on top of the driver. one of those life moments you never forget. And when, as soon as we could get to it, it was as far as from here to the parking area out front. And just a moment we were there, and he was just under the car, and he was just barely beginning to regain consciousness, and he kept saying, "Somebody help me. I'm on fire. So I'm burning. Somebody help me." And he was laying underneath the catalytic converter.
Oh, man.
If you know anything about cars, that's the hottest part of the car, apart from the internal part of the engine. We were able to get the EMS there, and the ambulance came, and the fire trucks came, and thankfully that man survived. I saw him not too long ago after that at one of the restaurants in Weatherford, and he said, "You may not remember me," but he said, "I remember you." And he said, "Thank you for helping rescue me from that tragic accident." You see, he had just left a used car dealership, and he was thinking about purchasing a car without any regard for the speed limit or for the conditions of the road or for anything else of that matter. He took a trip that wound up. He lived. He was spared. He wasn't hurt seriously, but he could have been killed. And I thought about that. So many times, I have thought about it so many times for years, because Jesus talked about life being a journey. In fact, he used several analogies. He used the book of James to tell us that life is like a flower that blooms, or a blade of grass that grows, and then after a while it withers and fades and it doesn't last long. Life is short, and Jesus encourages us to make the most of life. And this morning, if I could look into the hearts of each of us that are here, the heart of each of us, and know where we are along life's journey, I wonder what I would see. And you'd like to think that in a crowd this size, that everybody knows the Lord, and everybody here has given their heart and life to Jesus. Everybody here is prepared for eternity, and if you were to die today, you know that you have a home in heaven. But you see, you can't assume that. You can't assume that because, you see, the Bible, Jesus, when we read these words in just a moment, we realize the weight that Jesus gave to being sure that we're on the right road and not the wrong road. He put it this way. Verse 12, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." The journey to eternity. We're all on a journey. And the journey really doesn't last very long, like that flower we mentioned a while ago. So for just a few moments, I want to talk to you about that journey to eternity and ask yourself, which road are you traveling? Which choices have you made? What course have you projected? And very simply this morning, and by the way, Jesus was a simple preacher. Children came to hear him teach and gathered around Jesus. And sometimes the most profound truths are couched in the simplest of terms. And so as we think about how to get to heaven from Bartlett or the journey to eternity, I want us to think for just a moment about the declarations regarding the journey. That is, the truths Jesus shared about the journey that all of us are on. The declarations regarding the journey. And I want to give you several. One, not everybody is going to heaven. Now, I'd rather be positive than negative. That's not meant to be negative. It's simply meant to be truthful. And Jesus wanted us to be reminded that we must be born again if we plan on going to heaven. For eternity. In fact, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "He except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But the truth is, we live in a world where Jesus said there are two roads, one of the two roads we're traveling. One is a broad road, and there are lots of people on that road, and it's a road that leads to destruction. And you need to be aware of where which road you're traveling. It was not several. It was several years ago. Liv and I were leaving Lacey Spring, that big metropolis in Morgan County where I was born and raised and grew up. And it had been raining, and a lot of rain, a lot of road damage, a lot of bridges were out. And we knew, because we lived there, that just about a quarter of a mile down the road, maybe a half a mile, the bridge, the overpass, was washed out. What I didn't realize was that someone, either recklessly or incidentally, I don't know, I'll never know, had removed the warning barrier that had been placed up with the flashing lights in front of the overpass over the creek. And there was a car in front of us that was driving at a speed that would have slowed down had they known about the overpass, about the bridge being out. But they didn't slow down because the warning signs were taken down. And so in just a moment, we saw that car disappear from the road because he'd run off the road into the creek, into the small branch below. Fortunately, there were a number of people there who were able to offer assistance and help them. But that I can promise you, whoever that was in that vehicle will never forget the day that they didn't see a road sign and weren't aware that they were headed for destruction. What I want to say to you is this. May the Holy Spirit prompt our hearts and make us aware of which road we're traveling. We need to be sure we're on the road that leads to glory, on the blood-sprinkled path, on the redeemed way. Jesus said that way, he was the way and the truth and the life. But not everybody's going to go to heaven. Now, I say that because Jesus wasn't being mean. He wasn't being tacky. He wasn't being ugly. He was simply stating a fact. Choose you the right road. Enter in the straight gate, for wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And many of the people that are on that path. The declarations regarding the journey include not everybody's going to go to heaven, but let me add just another footnote, if I may, that more are going to miss heaven than are going to make heaven. I want you to think about that. It's the will of the Father that everybody be saved. The Lord shed his precious blood that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to know that you're on the right road. But not everybody's going to be saved. And more people are going to miss heaven than are going to get there. Hell will be full of people who could have given their hearts and lives to Christ, who could have chosen a different direction but did not do so. I wonder why Jesus was so emphatic when he said there's a narrow way and there's a broad way, and choose you this day which road you're going to travel. Because he cares about you, he cares about me. That's why he died on Calvary's cross and shed his precious blood. The journey to eternity reminds us that not everybody's going to heaven, and more are going to miss heaven than are going to make heaven. And then this third truth. Some people planning on going to heaven are going to miss it. Now you said, well, Jackie, what do you mean? What I mean is there's one way, and Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except by me. And you don't get there any other way. The thieves and the robbers will try to come in some other way other than the door, but Jesus said, I provided a way for you to get to glory, and it's a wonderful way, and it's an available way, and it's a way that Jesus declared very clearly. We just need to ask ourselves a question. Which road are we traveling this morning? The journey to eternity. This is the declaration. So not everybody is going to heaven. More are going to miss heaven than are going to make it. And some planning on going to heaven are not going to be going. And how can that happen, you might ask? Well, that leads me to point number two. The deception along the journey. The deception along the journey. Why in the world and how can it be that so many people are going to miss heaven? In the words of our Lord, many are on that road. And the implication is they're on the road and don't realize they're on the road. And don't know they're on the wrong road. And don't know the devil is a liar. And don't know there's only one way. And that one way is Jesus. So I want us to listen very carefully about the deception along the journey. You see, the devil is a liar. And he'll give you all kinds of reasons not to give your heart and life to Jesus. That's a crowded road. It's an easy road to travel because that's where most of the world is. But the deception along the way, how can people be deceived? Well, let's take, for example, the renegade sinner, the worst of sinners. There are some people who just never think about eternity. They only think about the here and the now, and they don't think about out yonder and life and what lies before us. And what I call the renegade sinner is the one who has no regard for righteousness, no hunger for righteousness. They live for self, and whether they kill or steal or maim, or whether they just live recklessly and ungodlessly, the renegade sinner. And the truth is, we're going to stand accountable to God one day for the choices we've made and for the decisions we've made regarding Jesus Christ. And sometimes a person's heart can become hardened. I remember not long ago here, we had a law enforcement officer come and share his testimony and did a wonderful job, and we were blessed to have him come and make this statement that Memphis has become the most dangerous city in our country. Now, I'm not trying to be negative, and I'm not trying to be pessimistic. What I'm saying to you is this. All around us are people who have no regard for what it means that Jesus, for the fact that Jesus died on the cross. All around us are people who have no inkling that one day they're going to spend life, eternity somewhere. All around us are people who are traveling a broad road because it's an easy road. And there are others that are traveling that road. And the devil is a liar and he's made it look appealing. And the truth is, it's a bad road to travel before you die, and it's absolutely the worst road to have traveled when you breathe your last breath down here. And so the journey to eternity reminds us that there are some declarations about the journey, but then the deception along the journey. The devil will make you think you're all right, you've got plenty of time. Maybe you're young, maybe you're healthy, but the truth is, at any moment, life can change. Today, I want us to pray for the Harvest Church in Germantown. Our daughter and her family go there along with lots of other folks. It's a large church. It used to be the old Forest Hills Baptist Church. And if you've seen the news this week, you know about the aircraft and the crash. And the one lone survivor was the pastor. And pray for him. He's still battling. He's got a lot of serious injuries. But how could those dear sweet people who had taken that trip so many times before in that same plane, that same route, how could they have known that was going to be the day they'd slip out of everything? We don't have any idea. The truth is, but the devil will try to, for those who do not know the Lord, he'll try to get your mind on everything except your relationship with the Lord. thankfully, those who are on that plane knew the Lord, loved the Lord, served the Lord, and had a great testimony. And even today, I think that no doubt they're being remembered there at that church. But the journey to eternity is one that has the declarations regarding the journey and the deception along the journey, the renegade center, the respectable center. Now, the respectable center is a little bit harder to reach because, you see, that's the one who pays their bill on time. That's the one who doesn't cross the street until the light says walk. That's the one who tries to obey the laws, live within the rules, and they live a respectable life. And in their mind, they're thinking, surely God will let me into heaven because I don't cuss, smoke, drink, or chew, or run around with folks who do. You see, the journey to eternity is a deceitful one. And the devil has lied to respectable sinners. There'll be a lot of people who miss heaven, who weren't murderers, who weren't liars, who weren't thieves. They were just people who were lost, who never gave their heart and life to Jesus and were never washed in His precious blood or saved by His grace. Amen. The deception along the journey also includes, and this may not surprise you, the religious sinner. In fact, Jesus used the most pointed passage on conversion, John 3:16-18, in a conversation with a man who was religious beyond measure, called Nicodemus. But if religion saved you, a whole lot of folks in this world will be saved. But you see, the truth is, religion, quote, end quote, doesn't save you. Jesus saves you by grace. Amen. There's only one Savior, one Messiah, one Lord, who died on Calvary's cross, was buried, and rose again the third day. And His is the only way to get to glory. And you see, that's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you read the scriptures, you go to the synagogue, you try to live a moral life, and by every rule of man's thinking, you would deserve to go to heaven. But Nicodemus, you've got to be born if you're going to see the kingdom of God. What is it about the journey to eternity that Jesus wants us to know? He wants us to know the declarations that we've talked about and the deception along the journey. But also, He wants you to understand that you and I decide where we spend eternity. That doesn't discount the sovereignty of God. God's Holy Spirit pricks our hearts and draws us and woos us. But anybody who will come by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of sin, turning from sin, and by faith receive Him into their hearts and lives as their Lord, anybody can be saved, have their sins washed away, have their names recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, and be sealed by the Holy Spirit, and be assured of home. Place called heaven. Amen. Jesus said the sense of urgency, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and wide is the way that leads to destruction. But narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. There really are only two choices. Your own self or the devil's lies or Jesus. Life is, the good thing about the gospel is that God's made it very clear that He loves us and wants to be a part of our lives. And the journey to eternity becomes the sweetest journey in the world when it's traveled alongside Christ by grace through faith. There are only two choices, and we're responsible for whatever choice that we make. And the last truth this morning is you can should make your choice, the right choice, if you've not already done so today. Today is the day, and now is the accepted time. Somebody may say, Brother Jackie, why would you preach a message like this that is focused on people being saved? Because last Sunday, you preached about heaven. miss it when you talk about the importance of knowing that that's where you're going. The only way to know is to be sure that you place your faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior. I don't suspect any renegades here today. You all look pretty respectable. Good God-fearing folks who have so many good qualities about you. But the question is, do you know Jesus? Have you trusted Jesus? And if you ever intend to give your heart and life to Christ, why don't you do it this morning? Why don't you do it? Why don't you do it now? Today is the day. Now is the accepted time. Enter ye in at the straight gate. That's about our hearts today. I remember one night when, as a very young couple, Lynn and I turned out the lights and gone to bed for the night. We had been to revival. And that night, our dear friend, who's now in his 90s, his name was Sam Wolfe. Sam preached a message of revival at our little country church on the coming of Jesus. That night, I kissed Libby goodnight. She started to cry. And as sensitively as a young husband could, I said, "What's wrong? What's the matter?" She responded with a broken voice, "I'm not saved." She taught Sunday school. She was moral. She knew about God. She believed the Bible. But she had never given her heart and life to Jesus. In that moment, I was stunned. I was shocked. And I blame my shock for the crazy remark that I shared at that moment. I was so stunned, I said, "Lord, will you go up tomorrow night and give your heart to Jesus?" With her broken voice, she said, "What if I don't make it till tomorrow night?" We turned on the light. Got up with God's word, let down on our knees and bowed our heads. Libby asked the Lord to forgive her of her sins and come into her heart and life. And become her Savior and Lord. And my wife was gloriously saved that night. I don't know where you are on your journey. But if you don't know, that you know for sure that if you died today, you have a home in heaven. You come, we'll tell you how to be saved, how to repent of sin, turn from sin, how to by faith receive Christ, how to have your life turned around, how to know that you know that you know that when time comes at the end of this life, when you pass from this life, you can know that you have a home in heaven because of the blood of Jesus. Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your invitation and your great salvation. And I pray, Lord, if there's anybody, any young person, any adult, any guest, any longtime attender, who's not yet settled life's most critical issue, our relationship with Christ, may this be the hour, may this be the day, may this be the time. They say an eternal yes to Jesus and get off the broad road and get on the narrow road by grace through faith. Well, that's our prayer in Jesus' name.